This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
The Bible tells us how life can be an adventure. We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that when your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives in our hearts, we begin to experience how life can be an adventure. For we are not just tied down to the routine things of life, but often he forces us to live on the cutting edge. Grant, O God, that your word will feed us this day, and we may be drawn closer to you and be better witnesses for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Story of Jesus, right on my mind everywhere. Tell me the story of precious, sweet as the banner must serve.
friends in Christ. From behind the walls of his prison cell, St. Paul presents us with an inspiring thought. This text has been the basis for millions of sermons throughout the years, and it is a truth that calls for a lot of thought by those of us who confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Here it is, very simple. I'm sure that you have memorized it. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Once more. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Now, those of you who are acquainted with the writings of St. Paul realize that his main emphasis and his basic thought is always that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That had become so real for Paul that he knew that unless that was fully comprehended, Christianity would not mean a great deal. And that the longer that we lived with the Lord Jesus, the more we would see the majesty of that great thought, that we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, for those of you who are not that well acquainted with biblical language, let me spell it out. It means that God looked upon this earth and saw that we were all sinners. But he loved us, and he could have nothing to do with sin. Therefore, it was necessary for him to set up a plan of redemption, that this sin might be erased and we might live in fellowship with God. Therefore, he sent his Son into this world, Jesus Christ. And through his suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for our sins. When he hanged upon the cross, it was one who was saying, "I die for you." And through that great sacrifice, our sin has been taken away, and we can live in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that is a basic message, a foundation for everything as far as the Christian faith is concerned. But Paul never allowed anyone to get away from the ethical demands of life in Jesus Christ. The Christians are to emphasize salvation, but they are also to be concerned about the social issues of the day. And a few weeks ago, we talked about that in our sermon. I'm back at it again today because as I preach through the book of Philippians, you cannot overlook this great inspirational thought. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. R.C. Sproul, a conservative theologian of this day of the evangelical stripe, has written a book entitled Getting the Gospel Straight. In this book, Dr. Sproul says, for 2,000 years, the church has understood her mission as involving the preaching of the gospel and the care of the poor, the widowed, the orphan, the oppressed, and so forth. Sproul goes on to say that oftentimes evangelicals, of which I am one, become so involved in this matter of salvation and getting people into a right relationship with God and then on to heaven that we sometimes forget what our responsibility is, what our calling is as followers of Jesus Christ on this earth. And Paul there summarizes it for us when he says, for me to live is Christ. Now, let me say once more, at the head of the list is to share the gospel that Jesus is the one who can give us the answers to life, especially during these days when the storms are great and we are cast aside. I say that because only a few weeks ago, I conducted a memorial service for a man who had taken his own life. A relative described him in the newspaper, mind you, as smart, friendly, and people genuinely loved him for what he was. But it was important for him to be successful. And I believe, this relative went on to say, it all caught up with him. I think his illness and his greed for money took over, and so there was no other place to turn. When I thought about that, at first it bothered me a little that a relative would come forth and be that blunt, even on the pages of a newspaper. But then I began to realize, kind of a realist, here is a person who had a driving desire within him to be thought well of by society. He needed, evidently, in almost an abnormal way, recognition that he had done something great, that he was one of the masters of his particular task in life. He had also found that security for him could be gotten in money. And so a fine balance sheet was something that he prided himself with, because it not only took good care of him, but took care of those whom he loved very much. But then the storms came, and all of these things that he needed so badly were erased from his life. So there was nothing else to do. There was no real purpose of living, and so he left us. How easy it could have been for someone who knew the Lord Jesus Christ to have sat with this person long before he had any thoughts of doing what he did. Perhaps some night when he was enjoying a special night because he had done especially well in his work that week, and say to him, you know, I'm happy for you tonight, and I'm happy to be with you celebrating the good week that you've had. But this is not the answer to life. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how he's got to be the basis, the foundation for it all. Or sooner or later, we'll not be able to get along in this world. We are too weak. We do not have the answers that are needed. So listen. And then if that person again and again could have led that individual finally into the presence of Christ. And then he could have put everything in his life into different priorities. And he could boast and say, I'm a child of the King. I have received Jesus Christ. He has turned my life around. I love him. We would not have had that memorial service. But evidently, very few, if any, had really ever mentioned that kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ to him. And so he went on to his defeat. Paul says, at the very beginning of this whole matter of serving the Lord Jesus and having an exciting life, is to share the gospel. But then he would also go on to say that there are social concerns in our world that we must be concerned about too. And here I am afraid, not only am afraid, I know, that my preaching lacks a great deal to bring out to the people, the children of God now, and I'm talking here to the children of God, those who know Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, about a few of these great concerns in our day. You see, Iowa has what is known as the Iowa Caucus. And for those of you who live outside of our state, you perhaps don't realize that the candidates are in here trying to tell the voters what they will do if elected to become the president of the United States. So some of our television programs are really aimed at taking a look at the social concerns that confront us as a nation, but that affect a whole world. For example, there is a concern of the sanctity of life. Just stop and think about it, how precious life really is. It was established, created, whatever you might want to say, by God Almighty. And the crowning work of this whole creative process was a human being. When he was all done creating man and woman in his image, he said, "And it is good." That's the way we were created before we fell into sin. But the sanctity of life, now, if it is that precious to Almighty God, is that not a social concern for us that we maintain the sanctity of God? And whether it be aborting a fetus or killing people by the thousands in war, both our own and our enemies, that there is much for the Christian to think about. The church is not to tell you how to vote, but the church is to tell you to think, if you are a child of God, about the sanctity of life and taking it, no matter what the age might be. There is such a thing as the sanctity of the family. I'm not quite positive about this number, but I'm pretty sure that it is true, that I learned not long ago that in our state of Iowa, there are 5,000 children in foster care homes. Some of them will return to their homes, but at any given time, there are somewhere around 5,000 people away from their parents. That is not the way that God ever intended it to be. So when I say for me to live is Christ, that means I look into the Word of God. And I not only look to myself for my salvation, but I look to how God wants me to live as a Christian. And a part of that is the sanctity of the family. What is a family? Created by God, and not by some sociologist, psychologist, theologian, or whatever, created by God, there is a father and a mother and the children. And they love one another. And they respect one another. And they discipline one another. It's a unit, the basic unit of our society. And yet we realize that many of these children are living in single-parent homes because the divorce has eaten out the father or the mother and they're no longer there. In most cases, they will be badly affected. In other cases, there are other abnormalities that break up that family circle. And my friend, that is not pleasing to God. And so if I'm His, and I want to live according to His will, then it means that I have to be concerned about what happens in my family. I must be concerned, for example, that everything is all right within the walls of our home. It will not be a perfect home, but it will be a place where, when all is done, we'll be able to say we loved one another. We encouraged one another. We saw to it that the talents were used to the very best of our ability. That's the Christian home, the sanctity, the social life that is necessary. There is a sanctity of the environment. We hear a great deal about that today, and we're going to be hearing a lot more as the days go by. God created this whole world, Genesis 1 and 2. And when he was done creating it, however that he did that, he looked and he said, "Behold, it is good." Then he created the crowning work, the human being. And what did he say to man and woman? "You are to rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is yours to use, to enjoy. You are the ones who are to rule over it. Use it, but do not abuse it. Enjoy it, but don't destroy it. Another social concern that is really finding its way into this next political election, but it shouldn't be confined to a political election, is the concern for the poor. Jesus talked a great deal about the poor. And one speaker on the television here a few weeks ago said, "You know, I'm sure that the subject of the poor in the world, as well as the poor in our own country, will be tossed around by the candidates. We who are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ need to see to it that we understand what Jesus would have us do with this topic. The church is not to tell who we are to vote for, but it makes known the issues and informs the constituency of what the Bible has to say about it." And then Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." Go on, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Walk as one who lives in a personal relationship with Jesus. Let them know you by your speech. Let them know you by your behavior. And then we come to the heavenly home. All because it is a gift. Christ has given it to us. We are His. For us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's why, from inside of his prison, Paul could be content and sometimes extremely courageous. He was one who also knew that when he had breathed his last, then it was all right, for he was at home with the Father. Just stop and think. Those of you who know Jesus Christ realize the blessing to have the assurance that we're going home to heaven and have a reason, a basis for saying, "I know I'm saved." And that basis is not any feeling. It is not something that has just been trumped up within us, but it is on the cross at Calvary. Jesus Christ died for us. I watched that happen in a very, very traumatic, emotional way just the other day. A 34-year-old mother said farewell to her husband and little boy. She had battled that terrible, terrible disease of cancer. And now it was over. And as I stood by her bedside in the hospice center, you could see that there was a peace that passed all understanding. And therefore, she could say, "Well, for me to live has been an adventure. I have walked with Christ, and He certainly has showed me what life is all about. But now comes the gain. As much as I don't want to leave my family, I am thankful that God has provided the place for me, and there I shall live with Him forever." That's the exciting life. Summarize, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. Father in heaven, may you have taught some of us who feel that life sometimes can be very boring, that to live with Christ is exciting. And Lord, for those who fear death, and perhaps for those who are not far away from breathing the last, grant that we may know and live with that perfect assurance that in Jesus Christ there awaits us a heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. To help meet our obligations for increased radio station costs, the Christian Crusaders Board has initiated the GEM Club as an invitation to help listeners. The GEM Club members support this ministry with a regular monthly gift of any amount. With your help, we would like to restore radio stations that were recently discontinued for financial reasons and expand the ministry for Christ's sake and the world. Would you please consider a monthly gift of $5, $10, $15, $20, or more dollars per month? For your convenience, we now accept Visa and MasterCard donations. Please call or email our office for further information. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 71 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.